Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio. Happy Monday, second to the last day of January. Wow, unreal. And the warm weather is still holding out all weekend long. 40s, sunny. Jeez. We still got another at least one full month of hardcore winter season, so could still wind up being the worst weather, worst winter on record. Who knows? February could be a real son of a gun. But even if it is, to have come this far with, you know, almost no snow, no significant snow, really, pretty impressive, man-made or not. And I'm sure it is. But like I said, guys, look how technology could be used to make our lives a better world in so very, very many ways, with all the advancements in machinery, you know, the electronic registers, for example, like the scene popping up in Walmarts, supermarkets, you know, across the board. Ordinarily, that wouldn't be a bad thing. It wouldn't mean the loss of jobs. It would mean less hours to have to work, wouldn't it? Yeah. To earn a decent living, not having to work so many hours. Ordinarily, machines like that would be welcome. That's all the less work we have to do, and more time we can spend with our families. No, that's not how it's playing out, is it? It is the loss of jobs. It is a bad thing. A step backward, not forward. Oh, it's a step forward for the swine, the scum of the earth that run the big multinational corporations, that use these machines to their advantage and screw everybody else. So it's not a good thing, is it? Technology could and should be a good thing, but all too often, its applications are devastating to society as a whole. Pretty pathetic, guys. Technology is both a step forward and backward at the same time because of the scum that run our world. If we could take control of this whole frickin' mess and ensure that technological developments were in fact used to make our lives easier and more comfortable, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wow, what a paradise it would be. Technology would be absolutely marvelous for everybody. But no, guys, technology is actually a very scary thing because it has fallen into the wrong hands, hasn't it? It's so scary to project forward and see, you know, where this is going. It's not good. Not good. Not good where we're at now. Never mind projecting forward. Anyway, picking up with our notes, where we left off on Friday, talking about some more Pizzagate updates. Harrison Dwyer was an early 20th century entomologist who dug a series of subterranean tunnels beneath 21st Street in D.C., allegedly in order to pursue his passion of studying bugs, we're told. No. Sorry, guys. This guy had some very serious screws loose. Something was going on with this guy in the subterranean realm of D.C. To warrant him digging these tunnels. But irregardless, what they've been used in more recent times is certainly very scary. But, you know, if you're an entomologist and you want to study bugs, you don't have to go through such an unbelievably elaborate and highly secretive endeavor involving the removal of literally tons and tons and tons of rock and dirt and other debris to dig beneath, you know, from your basement down. You really need to do that to study bugs? Does that even make sense, guys? But nevertheless, we want to concern ourselves more with what tunnels have been used for in more recent times. But before we even do that, looks like we've got a caller on the line here. Welcome to the show, caller. Or maybe not. Bobby just calling.
Okay, I forgot to mute. Do you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, loud and clear, man.
Yeah, good. Hey, not to change the subject, but did you happen to hear Kyle's podcast last night?
No, I didn't. I didn't get home till late.
Oh, he was talking about Antarctica and that Ooh. There might possibly be a German enclave down there. What do you think about that?
Well, I know Hitler had done a lot of work down there. There was a base down there. And, of course, shortly after, the United States moved in and other Western powers and monopolized the whole thing and have turned it into a no-man's land ever since, you know, tightly controlling who goes down there, what gets done.
I talked about
Antarctica, actually, not too long ago. There's a lot of mysteries down there that they're keeping from us.
Yeah, well, that's for sure, you know. And well, anyway, well, Kyle mentioned me briefly. I don't know, my name is Jim. I have wrote some articles on the Renegade Tribune several years ago in the name of Jim Hardhammer and Reinhardt. And anyway, if you're listening, Kyle, I never said orange jumpsuits, okay? I said they were, I perceived they wore orange uniforms. But anyway, I like his program. And I think that, well, actually, you know, I think that I have been in communication, it might sound crazy, with the Fourth Reich in Antarctica. I have channeled, what I believe is channeled, a song, which is called The Victory March of the Triumphant Aryan Republic, and it's on YouTube. I think the whole thing is the Fourth Reich, it's not like the Third Reich, okay? It's a little bit different. They're more...
Yeah, you know what? This is really going way off the topic. I really don't want to go down that road.
Okay, well, that's fine. But anyway, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, Kyle, if you're listening, I don't know why you're mad at me, because I am not a troll.
Yeah, like I said, no, this isn't the place for that, okay?
Sorry.
Do you have any comment about the topic at hand?
Okay, that's cool. Oh, about Pizzagate?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure all that stuff is going on, you know. But it's a terrible thing. The people we have in charge are terrible people, you know, and like you say, Charlie, we got to do something about it. But the question is what? I mean, I like what you're saying. You give a lot of analysis of the problem, but I don't really hear you giving a lot of solutions. And I think what we need is solutions. You know what I mean? I mean, you're a smart guy. You know what you're talking about. But what we need...
Well, exposing it is a solution, really. You've got to wake people up before you can do anything.
You're right.
You know, I mean,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
You do not have to wake people up, which you're doing. I really liked your about the you know Christianity because I was a Christian myself, and you're right. But again, I don't think we should be throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because I think there is a spiritual. I mean, I know there's a spiritual dimension, okay, but the thing is, how
not with that book. It's an evil spiritual dimension. Yeah, very evil.
Well, there's an evil and a good spiritual dimension. Everything
not in that book. Nothing good. Nope.
No, only illusion.
Illusion of good to make the bad look acceptable. And unfortunately, it's worked with far too many people. There's nothing good there. Sorry. Nothing good. That's like saying there's something good with the tribe that's screwing our world up. Can you name something good about it? No, there's nothing good there. That's their playbook. How can there be anything good there? Seriously. You're missing the mark. I don't think you've heard a thing I've said. That's my whole point in exposing that book. Nothing good. Nothing. Nothing.
But look, Charlie. There's good and bad in everything, okay? You have to look and separate the chaff from the wheat.
Well,
okay?
Yeah. I mean, you could argue that this morning's dump from last night's corn on the cob meal has some still undigested corn kernels, so maybe we should extricate those corn kernels and eat them again. They're still edible. They look fresh. Some of them aren't even chewed. So let's make another, maybe some corn chowder with that, right? Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Yeah.
So let's eat our freshly dumped corn kernels in the toilet from this morning. Yeah.
But you know that it makes you could take stuff make compost out of it. I mean, you could make a use for everything. Okay. What I'm saying is, okay, you know, before we can know good, we have to know evil. You know, before it's this world is dual. There's positive forces and negative forces. But in a way, they work together, okay? Because there's such a thing as creative destruction. Well, like in the Vedic religion, you see, you don't have the concept of Satan, but you have Shiva, who is the destroyer. But certain things have to be destroyed. If you want to build a building, and there's an old building on the site, you have to tear down the old building before you can build a new building, okay? So this creative destruction, and I think in a lot of ways that's what the Jews do, this creative destruction. Some of the things that they do need. I remember the 1960s. Okay, because I'm 74 years old. There was a lot of things that needed to be changed in the 60s. But they sometimes go too far. But what I'm saying is, nothing is static. Everything is changing all the time. And in order to have change, you have to sometimes have destruction. Okay, that's what I'm saying. You can't just say.
What they're after is nothing good. Nothing good at all. So you can call that, you can claim there's something good to come out of that. No, it's not intended to. From the word go, all the change they introduce is to bring us down the crapper. And that's all they've ever done. So if you want to imply that there's something good to come out of that, I couldn't possibly disagree with you more. Anyway, we're really getting off the track here, buddy. I want to get back to the notes.
Wait, can I give you one example? Look at the Internet. Now, that was developed by the Pentagon, okay? It was for the military. It was for a bad purpose, and yet we have turned around and used it for a good purpose. So anything like that,
they're working now to shut it down because it's working against them. But
I know. But I mean, they're trying, but they can't do it. I just wanted to say. I mean, I didn't mean to change the subject. I really like what you're saying, but I would like to see be a little bit more positive, focus on the positive a little bit more.
Well, I'm positive we're in a lot of trouble, that's for sure. All right, buddy.
We're good. Bye-bye.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, unless I can let my hair grow long and become superhuman like Mr. Samson, I mean, what solution is there, guys? That's the problem. That's the problem. They're dug in so, so deep. And trying to get people on the same page, or even enough of the right kind of people sometimes, is quite a challenge, isn't it? I mean, you just look at the truth movement. Look at the tremendously varied opinions and interpretations and ideas that you've got right within the truth movement. It's so hard to get people on the same page. You've got some people that are partially awake, some that are almost all awake, fully awake, and then others that are you know, just barely crossing the threshold. Then you've got the religion factor. I mean, that's a big barrier right there, isn't it? That limits people in so very many ways. So that's what we're up against. Unfortunately, we have a very formidable enemy that's dug in deep, that has this well thought out. And they are on the same page, all of the little minions. We're on the same page. That's our disadvantage, guys. We have so many people from so many varied backgrounds with so many differing opinions and interpretations. Getting them on the same page, it's just it's not so easy. So all you can do is just help to create an awareness and you know, of what has been going on, how we've been fooled. But as to come up with an idea as far as, you know, an actual plan, yeah. I got all kinds of plans, guys, but how to carry them out without, inciting absolute mayhem and bloodshed, you certainly don't want that. It looks like, God, I don't know if you can hear me, but... I'm picking up some background noise.
Oh, Charlie, sorry about that. Still from the, you know, the show last night, going into broadcast mode here. Real quickly, I wanted to mention something I didn't mention on that show last night, because you got that caller there. Isn't it interesting with Operation High Jump, which was ordered by Forrestal? He was the Secretary of the Navy at that point, and he got made Secretary of Defense. You know, shortly after the National Security Authorization, right? And then he was put into a hospital for psych problems, and then he himself took a high jump a few years later after high jump. He didn't really actually jump himself. It seems he was thrown out of there. But that's just one thing I didn't get to.
Not the first one they've done that with either.
Yeah, I just thought that was fascinating that this guy that was, you know, really the head of the military pretty much got thrown out of a window after being committed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's one of their favorite methods of elimination.
Well, sorry about the mic there, Charlie.
You lost it.
Have a good show.
What's that?
I was just saying, sorry about the mic being on there. Have a good show.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah. Yeah, I put some notes together on that guy. I don't think I broadcast him yet, the whole Forrestal thing, but yeah, that's definitely a murder. Anyway, I think Kyle was done. But, there's been quite a few like that. Bethesda guys, too. When you hear of someone falling out a Bethesda window, if that doesn't have, you know, that doesn't send up some major red flags. Jesus, my God. Let's see. What else do we know happened at Bethesda? Speaking of that, I can't remember now if I mentioned this on Friday or not, or if this was something that arose over the weekend. But somebody sent me an interesting link. No, I think it was over the weekend. I didn't mention this yet. Just another little interesting note to toss in to my previous discussions on Jackie Onassis and her CIA background and her role in the Kennedy assassination. Something interesting was pointed out to me I'd never seen before. In the Zapruder film, one of the reasons being my crappy eyesight. Once it was pointed out, I just had to watch it in slow motion. You know, sometimes things go by too quick for me. I can't pick it out. So I wanted to look at the Zapruder film very carefully, very slowly, one frame at a time, and that's how I was able to really see it. And so if you want to see what I'm talking about, just go... Do what I did. Do a Google search for frame by frame Zapruder film. Just type that in the Google search. And there's any number of websites that contain the entire Zapruder film, one frame at a time. Took me a little while, but I downloaded not the whole film, just the key important parts of it, you know, maybe a dozen frames prior to and then a dozen frames after the final fatal hit on Kennedy. Well, I shouldn't say, it's probably a couple of dozen, several dozen, actually. I think I downloaded about 40 images total. But anyway. Having done that and running it through, now, of course, you know, the thing's been doctored, blah, blah, blah. But in spite of the doctoring, there's still a lot of damning evidence on that film. They didn't do a thorough job editing it. You can actually see, first of all, you can see right after the deadly shot, she flings Kennedy off her, as I said before. Don't forget, she told the Warren Commission, I remember holding him on my lap and crying out, why? Oh, no, you didn't, you lying sack of garbage. You flung him off your lap. You couldn't get him off of you fast enough. She turns right around, and she's doing a couple very interesting things. Do like I said, guys. Go download the film, or at least the key parts of the film, you know, in the individual frames. Then you can, you know, go through your image viewer and use your arrow keys, you know, and at will, at your own pace. You can go backwards, forwards, go through them in sequence. And you can watch her doing several very interesting things. She no sooner turns around, and she's fiddling with the backrest of the seat. She looks like she's pulling open the little storage flap, stuffing something inside, then quickly closing it, and then she climbs onto the trunk. But just before she steps, you know, onto the trunk itself, she swings her left arm back. You can tell she's clearly tossing something, and you can actually see something white flinging out of her hand, and it seems to waver back and forth in midair as it flies toward the back of the trunk. It's hard to tell if Clint Hill is catching it or if it whizzes past him and somebody else on the street grabbed it, but she's definitely throwing something out of her left hand. Very, very interesting. So she's stuffing something into the back of the seat, the storage compartment. She's throwing something, and in addition to that, you continue to watch, even after the limo passes behind a tree, you can still see what's going on to some degree. The tree gets in the way for the most part, yes, but you can still discern Clint Hill's hand reaching out and clasping hers. So something is going on there as well. They're not shaking hands, nice to see you. No. He's reaching out to her as she is to him. They do clasp hands. What the hell do you suppose is going on there? I don't care, ladies and gentlemen. You can scream, moan, and fuss. You can wet yourselves, soil your depends all you want. You can claim that she's innocent. She was a victim in this whole thing. I don't care what you say. You cannot ignore what's going on in that film. It will forever stare you in the face and scream at you for answers. There's something extremely suspicious going on there. Okay? That's all. That's an upset. But I never noticed this white object flinging out of her left hand before. That is yet another very, 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 very disturbing piece of evidence I hadn't noticed before. When the person first sent me that link, I think it was on Friday after the show, I thought he was talking about, when I watched it, I'm looking for something white, and all of a sudden I see, oh yeah, what is that? I never noticed that before. I saw something white emerging from the right side of the screen to the left side of the field of view. as the limo progressed. It looked like, you know, someone threw something white. It came from in front of the car and then proceeded. Anyway, upon further investigation, and then a listener alerted me to this as well, but I had already noticed it even before this other listener mentioned it. It's actually maybe a piece of paper or something on the ground across the street in the grass. So, you know, I made a blunder there. I thought it was something in midair moving. It's hard to tell, you know, as the car is moving. But anyway, this other thing I'm talking about, which is what the original email was referring to, is something entirely different. It's not something on the ground that's stationary. She's definitely throwing something out of her left hand. She's also definitely stuffing something into the back seat very clearly. She's opening a flap, sticking something in there. And she's also, you know, reaching out and meeting up with Clint Hill. Her hand meeting up with his. What was going on there? Her right hand reaches out to his right hand. He goes out of his way to brace himself and climb onto the trunk as well to meet up with her. Come hell or high water, he was not going to give up. He was making sure that he climbed on the back of that trunk and clasped hands with her. Something was exchanged there, ladies and gentlemen. Wasn't a greeting. It had to be premeditated. I was thinking, looks like she panicked and screwed up and did something she wasn't supposed to. No, that was premeditated. You know, I'd venture to say, Kennedy, having been disabled by the initial hit on him, the ballistic tracheotomy, if you will, you know, he was shot in the neck, in the throat. That was designed to, you know, incapacitate him, and it did. You could see him holding his throat. He was in a lot of pain. He couldn't even talk, right? Just got shot through the throat. In the meantime, Jackie moves in for the kill now. And you can see Connolly cocking his head back. He's talking to her. Her attention was totally on him the whole time. Kennedy probably heard Connolly say, "Okay, Jackie, get the weapon out now. Position his head." Kennedy probably heard those words before he died. He knew at that point exactly what was going on. Son of a blankety blank, blank and blank. All right, guys, short break. Right back.
The Divided People. This is a man called Chris Dorsey, host of the Militia Intelligence Report on Renegade Broadcasting. The Jewish, Masonic, and Vatican-run shadow government is engaged in war against the people. Join us every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, for discussion on restoration of European common law and the latest intelligence analysis. Peace and God bless.
We'll be right back.
All right, guys, welcome back. But you talk about hidden in plain sight. How many times I've watched that video? And I never noticed that because I was looking for other things, you know, but never. Wow. You really sometimes have to be looking for something to actually see it. If you're not looking for it, you won't see it, even though, again, it's right in front of your eyes. Now, you know, one of the reasons I do have really crappy eyesight, I probably would never have noticed that except it was pointed out to me, but still, even people with 20/20 vision haven't really noticed that. It's amazing how the human mind works, guys. You don't see things usually unless they're pointed out, and even then you still don't see them if you don't want to see them. While yet seeing them, after they've been pointed out, you still won't see it, if you know what I mean. You'll write it off, even though you have actually seen it. You make excuses for it, say it's something else. The thing screams at you, this is highly suspicious, something is seriously wrong, but you will write it off. Anyway, back to our notes here. We're talking about this Harrison Dwyer guy digging these subterranean tunnels under the streets of D.C. back, you know, like 100 years ago, well, almost 100 years ago, 1920s. Anyway, over the years, he excavated quite an elaborate network, which still exists to this day. And again, to say that he did this so he could study bugs, guys, it's laughable. That's just ridiculous, okay? Not buying it, and neither should you. He was probably an early version of George Hodel and, you know, was engaging in rapes and who knows what the hell else, you know. And these tunnels apparently have been used ever since then for similar things. In those subterranean levels way down underground, screams are, you know, thoroughly muted, aren't they? Snuffed out. You don't hear them from the you know, from above ground. You can get away with anything in a location like that. That would really be the only reason to dig tunnels like that. Again, guys, not to study bugs. He was an academic. He could get a hold of bugs anytime he wanted to. He could build a terrarium and study them that way with see-through glass panels or, you know, plastic or whatever, you know. Dig tunnels underground so he could study. What the hell kind of nonsense? Anyway, it turns out that this tunnel network actually links three of Aliphantus's properties: Transformer, Comet Ping Pong Pizza, and the Pegasus Museum that I mentioned on Friday. All three of these businesses on the same property are linked together by this underground network, tunnel network, that was created, you know, roughly 100 years ago. Now, isn't that very interesting? The Pegasus Museum website actually contains a picture of an entrance to one of these tunnels in its basement, guys. You can see, you know, a large crawl space that a person could easily crawl down into. That's one of the entrances into this subterranean tunnel system. I would venture to say that Mr. Aliphantus bought that property for that reason. Like I said, no screams, of course, could ever be heard from those deep subterranean levels. Obviously, that's what drove him to buy this property. And he was probably carrying on a tradition of, you know, similar things that had gone on there 100 years earlier by its original creator. Another important point to make note of is the fact that this same tunnel network runs to Rock Creek Park. This is important because this park, local park, has been the site of some very disturbing child/teenager disappearances. For example, Chandra LeVay. That's an interesting name, isn't it? Same name, same spelling as Anton LaVey, famous tribal Satanist that founded the First Church of Satan in San Francisco. He's dead now, but you got to wonder if there's some relation here. Anyway, Chandra LaVey disappeared from this park in May of 2001. The FBI looked at her laptop, which revealed that her last act, excuse me, her last act before her death was to search for the Pierce Klingle Mansion, which is a historic house in Rock Creek. So clearly that's where she was heading at the time of her death. Not surprisingly, Chandra's decomposed body was found 1 mile north of this mansion. In 2014, ritualistic animal sacrifice paraphernalia was found in Rock Creek Park, along with the corpses of goats, chickens, pigeons, and other animals that had their throats slashed. Now, some people might think, oh, well, it's just some crazy local, probably some teenage punk kids. No. How many times do people conclude that, if they're aware at all, satanic groups and the unspeakably evil things they do, how many times do they write it off? Oh, it's just some local thing, some teenagers. No, guys, it looks like our little elephantus buddy and his elitist customers are the perpetrators of these crimes. Or have been. Now they've relocated. Who knows where it's continuing? You know it's continuing. But not at ping pong anymore. They pulled up stakes. They're engaging in their little schemes somewhere else. But how do you like that? Many young people have disappeared in that park area. They found corpses all over the place with throats slashed. This isn't some local teenage cult group, folks. Anyway, steamit.com has reported that an anonymous former employee of Comet Ping Pong Pizza has come forward and accused Aliphantus of having sexually abused him when he worked there years ago, apparently as a teenager. Here's what he stated. I work there, but no longer have any indisputable evidence of that, as I pretty much got rid of everything that reminded me of the event years ago. I do have some cringe-worthy emails, though I'm not sure it's a good idea to share them. He's probably afraid for his life. But no need to doubt, guys, the veracity of this claim. No need to doubt it at all. But, of course, the average mindless drone on the street who thinks that this is all fake news, not realizing that the mainstream media is the real fake news. But, you know, most people are quick to write stuff like this off. Well, he doesn't have any solid evidence. We don't need any evidence to conclude that this is most likely a true story, guys. We know what's gone on there. We know what a sick SOB this guy is. There's no reason to doubt the veracity of this. In fact, there's probably hundreds more that could come forward with stories even far more horrific than this guy's. But, you know, they're either too afraid to say anything, or maybe they've been killed by now. Anyway, he went on to say, Mr. Elefantis did this after we had been drinking, and he drugged me. Questions on that topic will be answered at my discretion. I'm sorry, but sometimes the PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, makes me behave in ways that won't make sense, and I'm afraid I could get triggered. Implying that he's been MKUltra. Triggered. A trigger word. His previous business partner, he said, also left after he did something similar to her kid. He was 17 or 18. So this woman that worked for him had her son assaulted by Elefantis, who was 17 or 18 at the time. In the email exchange, Elefantis agreed to pay for the victim's therapy in exchange for him not saying anything about the sexual assault. Very interesting. Anyway, all kinds of crazy stuff has been coming at me, guys. Just like I said, when I covered this, what, like a month ago, the whole Pizzagate thing. I said, you know, more and more stuff was going to come out as time went on, and sure enough, that's exactly what's happened. And I shudder to think what else is going to come out with this thing that we haven't even imagined, guys. It just gets worse and worse and worse. It's involving more and more people, bigger and bigger names. I mean, Obama's already been tied in with it on many counts. Not only, you know, mentions of him in emails, but White House blogs, you know, talking of Elefantis going there. I talked about that on Friday, you know, spending two nights there. There's also been some other email revelations, not necessarily connected with Pizzagate, but just other bizarre email revelations coming from whistleblowers inside the FBI. On January 8th, just a couple weeks ago, such whistleblowers within the FBI had released a large collection of emails sent by Hillary Clinton, revealing that she was sending secret government messages to Clinton operative and former Clinton Foundation aide Sidney Blumenthal. I'll tell you what kind of name that is, do I? Scumbag that he is. And anyway, he was a person who, of course, did not have the proper security clearances to legally receive those emails, and yet there she was sending him a tremendous amount of highly classified, what was dubbed sensitive information. Reporting on this matter the next day, January 9th, Lou Dobbs on Fox News stated, quote, 300 pages of documents were put out by the FBI showing that Mrs. Clinton was regularly sending confidential and secret information to someone outside the government. This report stated that this information was of a highly sensitive nature and that her emails were being hacked by foreign nations such as China, Russia, and, get this, Israel. That's been mentioned, Israel. Just look how we're being sold down the river, ladies and gentlemen. Just putting Pizzagate aside for a minute. Just looking at that factor, that she's sharing highly sensitive information with somebody probably Mossad connected. Unbelievable. And look how those who are doing this are completely getting away with it every time. Every time. Nothing has come out of, nor ever will come out of, as far as, you know, law enforcement goes, whatever that means. With the Pizzagate thing, nothing. Nothing has come out of this, nor ever will. And now we find that Mr. Trump is going to keep Comey, FBI Director Comey, the one who's been covering Hillary's tracks, the one that Trump said he was disgusted with. I mean, wow, people can't see through this. And yet there's Mr. Truther himself, Alex Jones, singing the praises, literally, of this guy. Man, it's just astonishing. Anyway, in this same Fox report, Dobbs went on to say, the question arises, why did the FBI director, Comey, have such a struggle that persisted over a number of months, to pursue the email issue. And this evidence of recently leaked emails makes it clear that his last judgment on the matter of prosecution was utterly in error. Yeah? Again, not that Mr. Dobbs is a bastion of truth, because all you have here is the right attacking the left. Just like now you're going to have the left attacking the right. And, it's just bouncing little frickin' ball game they play. But these statements are true, nonetheless. And it is very damning that Mr. Comey, is not investigating. But here's something to get people who fall for the left-right paradigm swing game. Why would Mr. Righty, Mr. Trump, not only back away from his claim that, I'm going to have Hillary arrested if I get in office, but why is he keeping the very FBI director who was defending Hillary? You really think there's a difference between the left and the right, Republicans and Democrats? Yeah, I don't know, guys. Anyway, George Webb is a journalist who specializes in exposing government corruption and has lately taken up the Pizzagate issue, exposing the expansive connections between it and the Clinton Foundation and the CIA. This guy's pretty interesting. I've watched several of his videos. I never even heard of him until a listener had sent me some of his stuff. Very good. Look this guy up. You might want to keep abreast on his regular postings. You know, he's always posting videos up on YouTube. George Webb. Sounds like another Gary Webb. I just hope he doesn't share the same fate the way he's going. He has pointed out, for example, that Eric Braverman, the former CEO of the Clinton Foundation, went missing sometime in October of 2016. He was intimately connected with the covering up of Clinton and CIA pedophilia operations, drugs and arms trafficking going back to Iran-Contra, and a whole host of other government-connected crimes. You got to wonder, did they pop this guy off, even though he was one of the, one of their own? Did they pop him off because They were afraid that under duress he was going to say something, or maybe he was upset with someone and mouthed off at a party drunk, indicating, you know, because he was so ticked off with this one or that one that he was going to spill the beans. You know, when you say something like that, even if you don't mean it, even if you're just burning off steam because you're angry at the time and you're drunk or whatever, they'll pop you off. They don't care. Absolutely. They're not going to take any chances. If not, you know, if no other reason, they see that you're so loose with your tongue, they're afraid you might say something at another party when you're drunk. UNC staffer Seth Rich was shot and killed on July 10th, this past July, in D.C. He's said to have leaked out info to WikiLeaks, according to the UK ambassador. So there's another strange death that has occurred in recent months, tied in with Pizzagate, directly, indirectly. Another man who threatened to not another one, but a man who threatened to sue the DNC also died under mysterious circumstances about the same time. John Ash, former UN ambassador from Antigua. Yet another one of their victims. Looks like we got another caller on the line. Welcome to the show, caller.
Father Charlie, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Did you listen to Jim Fetzer's interview of Jim Rothstein?
No,
Gold Shield detective. I'll send you a link. The Gold Shield detective from New York City who came forth,
like,
and he was talking about the fact that in his estimation that 70% of all politicians are pedophiles.
Well, I'm not sure what's going on here. Charlie, are you still there? I'm seeing you're connected, but I'm not hearing anything from you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Maybe you accidentally muted?
No.
Excuse me.
Hey, you can hear me, right?
Yes, I can.
Apologies. It was actually my speaker that became unplugged. Sorry, Monday morning craziness.
Oh, okay.
You gotta get all your equipment from China.
I'm telling you, I didn't do anything. I was in the other room. I heard the line go dead, and I run in here to see what's going on, and for some reason the cord just became unplugged somehow. Sorry about that. Apologies.
Okay. Now the NSA has trained their micro robots to unplug your stuff.
Yeah. Hey, look under the desk. I hope you don't have a Mossad agent in there.
Yeah, it's amazing what they'll be able to do, son.
Yeah, I'm serious.
So I just wanted to let you know about that. That was really interesting. And people have been telling me there's no such, you know, no way that our politicians would be baby eaters, you know. And I say, hey, listen. Everything seems to point to the fact that that's how they are.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it's higher than that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we both know that the only way that the pedophilia that took place in the Catholic Church and some of its offshoots could have continued is if the politicians were part of it.
Right.
You know, it's just like how do the Jews... Right now, how are so many of these people who are stealing organs and sending them around the world so easily not get caught unless, you know,
look at the Franklin
breaching
thing,
somebody's
right?
pump.
Look at
Franklin
the Franklin
cover-up.
Yeah, the whole Franklin thing. That was a Catholic-run boys' school that was supplying boys to the CIA that was running this big pedal ring back then. They work hand-in-hand.
Well, one of the things that, you know, it's a culmination of facts. After a while, when you get into so much information, it gets to the point where, well, you know, the only thing you could really say, a sane person could say, is why not? Why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah.
Like I said, these people are mass murderers.
Yeah.
That, you know, people, I've heard people say that, well, you know, it wasn't Obama's fault that he's in the wars. Well, he didn't try to get us out of these wars. So he's following orders, just like the people who started the wars.
Yeah, nothing should surprise us.
You know, and we'll, you know, so why be surprised? But it's a really good interview. In fact, that's somebody you might want to get on your show, the Gold Shield detective. I when you hear it out of the mouth of somebody like that, how many times he's tried to prosecute people and the government itself, people within the political arena, stop it, you know, of course, well, this is what these people do. There's no doubt about it.
Right. Well,
you know what? It's so fascinating to me that people don't really take a look at, or they can't even. Maybe me and you can do it because we're older. Where you could compare the way it is today to the way it was 25 years ago, and
right.
how you see the deprivation in your and around you. You see so many. They say in New York now it's something like one out of every five storefronts are empty. There's no businesses.
Oh yeah, I see that everywhere I go downtown.
Yeah, and it's happening even in better communities now.
No need
like
of it.
Morristown, New Jersey is a really nice area in New Jersey, and it's starting to get like that there. And so the next thing that happens is it starts breeding a crime. People don't have any money to live. You're going to have more crime, and now it's an industry. Surprise. That this system would actually make incarceration an industry. I'm not surprised. Why
I'm
not?
Proud of it.
You know, war's an industry. Why not, you know,
right.
jail? Yeah. Sure. None of it makes any sense anymore. It's like we're living in an upside-down world. And, you know, if there was a God, why isn't he doing anything about this?
Exactly. He would have
no
to be
sense.
Culpable, wouldn't he? He would have to be responsible.
Well, absolutely. If you're the one that created everything, then you're the one that created all the problems.
Yeah. And he doesn't deny it. He says, I create evil and good. Well,
yeah.
there you go. Praise
yeah,
the Lord.
So, you know, how loving can that God possibly be? You know, it can't be. To allow pedophilia to take place, you know, all over the, you know, it's so absurd. But, you know, like I've said in the past, the one thing I've noticed is more and more people are willing to take a look at things. You know, finally, you know, they see that there's something seems to be wrong. It's, you know, it's not everybody's not closing their eyes and running away.
Right.
So who knows? But like I said, I'll send you that link to that. It's awesome to listen to because there's no doubt in my mind that this guy's telling the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, and it makes sense. Biden talking to that little girl when he got caught, Joe Biden, when he got out. Who talks to little girls like that?
I saw that. Unbelievable.
You know, and it's amazing. It's amazing that this and they want it, and it's almost as though the ruling class, whoever, the people behind it, they actually think we can survive World War III.
You know what? I think, we do have a break coming in. I could hardly hear the music. Right.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Take care.
Oh, okay, buddy. Yep. Thanks for calling.
You're not always at your computer, but that doesn't mean you need to stop listening to Renegade Broadcasting. A good way to catch our shows while you're on the go is by finding us on TuneIn Radio. There is an app for your iPhone or Android, TuneIn.com. There are also plenty of other ways to access the 24/7 stream right on the homepage at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. And that first button underneath the player is a direct link to our page on TuneIn Radio. Please remember to follow us and share with your friends.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Yeah, along the line of what Vinny was saying, I mentioned this guy, you know, I talk to, go out for breakfast, usually every Sunday, most every Sunday, and he's totally on board with, you know, Hillary being corrupt, he can't stand her, and he's so glad she didn't get in office, you know, okay, great, yeah, we have somewhat in common we can talk about there, we can both clap and cheer that she's out of the picture now, politically. But you cannot get him to even discuss, let alone acknowledge, the reality of Pizzagate. Just forget it. It's not going to happen. Not going to go there. Unbelievable. Here's a guy who loves to bash her, right? Can't say enough bad about her. And is wanting even more ammunition against her, but not that. Oh, no, we can't go there. No, no. As evil as she is, no, why, you know, our leaders, no matter how corrupt they are, they wouldn't do anything like that. Absolutely freaking incredible, ladies and gentlemen. That, it's just, man, we really are in the Twilight Zone. It makes me think of how people you know, back at the time of the Iraq War when it broke open, almost everybody knew, could not deny that that war was a scam, that we were lied into it. Of course, every freaking war we've ever fought has been a scam. But that one there, I mean, it was, you know, the whole weapons of mass destruction thing, the whole nation saw that we were lied into that, that the WMD thing had no basis to it whatsoever. They just made it up as a pretext. We even had frickin' Wolfowitz admitting that that was a phony pretext, right? He admitted it. We come up with that for bureaucratic reasons, you know, blah, 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 blah. We knew that the public would be able to accept that as a legitimate excuse for the war. He admitted it. Anyway, my point is, most people could admit that we were lied into the Iraq war. But the minute you mentioned 9/11, they'd hit the roof and call you a crazy conspiracy. Now, whoa, wait just a minute now, I would say to these people. You're going to tell me that you admit that the people in Washington, the Bush administration, have lied us into a war that has cost us more lives, more American lives, than what died on 9/11, to say nothing about the Iraqi lives that died. But, you know, just looking at the American, you know, the American side. You admit that this administration lied us into a war that has cost more lives than what died on 9/11. You can admit that this administration is responsible for the death of thousands and thousands of Americans, far more than what died on 9/11. But you can't admit that they would stage something like 9/11, which gave them the phony pretext they needed so they could, in fact, engage in phony wars like the one in Iraq? Can you imagine the cognitive dissonance going on there, guys? The brain deadness, if you will, of such people, and they are not in a minority. Most Americans actually think like that. They could admit we were lied into the Iraq war, and they had to, because it's all over their trusted mainstream news, right? It was. But because the mainstream trusted news didn't mention 9/11 as a government conspiracy, oh, that's crazy. But how is saying the government did 9/11 any more crazy than saying that the government lied us into a war that cost more deaths of Americans than what died on 9/11? I mean, somebody please help me. I just can't. You know, there's other examples that you could cite too, but to me, that's the most obvious one right there. I couldn't believe I was hearing this crap come out of people's mouths. Wow, man. I don't know. That's like saying, yeah, oh, I knew that guy shot up everybody in the mall. Yeah, he was crazy. But to say he then turned the gun on himself and killed himself, he wouldn't do that. I mean, really, that's exactly the kind of thing we're looking at. The same type of mentality. Wait a minute, you just admitted he shot everybody in the mall, but you can't admit he killed himself? We're in Twilight Zone country now, baby. Anyway, we got another call on the line. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, Charlie. You know, regarding the Iraq war and the weapons of mass destruction, it's not just that they lied about that, which is absolutely true, but it's also the way in which they frame the question, the very question in our minds. For instance, I almost never hear it mentioned that not only was the issue whether or not they had weapons of mass destruction, but the fact that Iraq was a sovereign state, and if they wanted to have nuclear weapons, that's their right to develop them.
Yeah.
Israel, which has 400 to 600 nuclear weapons that they've either stolen or developed in their Dimona facility underground based upon our stolen technology. So right. Here we are. We're allowing Israel to not sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. We're allowing them to have weapons of mass destruction, but no. Nobody else can have them.
Right. Oh, yeah. The hypocrisy of it. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's just crazy, the entire double standard. And amongst the public, in all my discussions about the Iraq war and the weapons of mass destruction, literally no one has ever mentioned that, well, Iraq's a sovereign state. If they want to develop weaponry, that's their right, and we don't have any business interfering.
Yeah. Oh, look at Iran. Iran wants nuclear power, and the problem is?
Right. Yeah. Right. Israel.
Yeah, exactly. And we defend, we got another president saying the same thing. We are going to defend them and stand for their sovereign rights. He actually said, under his watch, Israel isn't going to be a second-class citizen. Oh, really? When have they not been a first-class?
Right, right. He said he'll stand with them 1,000%. They'll be there forever, you know, which presumes they'll probably be there longer than we will.
Gee. Anyway, and there's Alex saying, oh, this is different now. We got a man of the people in there. Whose people?
Yeah, exactly. Whose people? Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Another good example. Thanks. Yeah, there's another good example. They got you chasing shadows and asking the wrong questions, focusing in the wrong place, when, you know, it's their hypocrisy is so obvious. It's so in your face. It's like, you know, the debate over, you know, before Obama approved gay marriage. Should or shouldn't the government allow gay marriage? That's not the question to be asking. Is it their place to decide? That's the question to ask. Oh, people. I don't know, man. This country, we really do have some of the most gullible, mindless saps in this country. No critical analysis. No analysis of any kind, critical or otherwise, at all. There's no brain power involved. No thought process with anything. Like that guy in the coffee shop. Can't stand Hillary. Did you know that, blah, 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 the emails? Nope, wouldn't go there. Didn't want to hear it. I could have insulted his mother, and it probably wouldn't have been more offensive to him. Jesus, man. Absolutely incredible. Anyway, looks like we got another call on the line. Welcome to the show, caller.
Good morning, Charles, as always. I was remembering a little bit after 9/11, Fox News revealed dual Israeli citizens, if you remember how the CIA uncovered the Israeli spying operation using urban moving equipment. Forgive me if I get the name wrong. And
oh yeah, the time of 9/11. Yeah,
and I remember at the end of the story, they the last thing they said was we asked these FBI officials if they would look into Israeli spying operations. And then he said, suggesting Israel had anything to do with 9/11 is essentially career suicide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Sure.
So I mean, they're basically telling you right out in the open.
Fox actually reported that, the Kyle Cameron four-part series, yeah.
Correct, Charles. I mean, they're just telling you right out in the open that if, yeah, Israel may have did it, but to talk about that is essentially career suicide, so we can get in trouble for it. Nobody caught that, because I'm sure Fox...
He also said evidence linking Israel with the 9/11 attacks is classified. We can't comment on it. In other words, it is connected, but we can't comment on it.
Huh. Yeah. And
of all the news media outlets out there, Fox actually reported that. Can you believe it?
I know. Usually CNN is supposed to be the more...
Because they're the most sleazy of all in a lot of ways, but... They were Bush's little lapdogs, you know, and yet they were reporting this stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it really makes me wonder why them. But then it...
Well, again, I think they want it out there. They do. They were boasting about it. They were proud of it.
They want to... What I've always said is that they would like to test us in a way. They send out, just like this whole Pizzagate thing. I believe everything in it, but along the way, they're trying to muddy the waters, and they're trying to release it the way they want to. They want to actually see who's smart enough to figure out the real evidence and to dig deep enough, and how many people they can fool. They knew people would question 9/11. They knew there would be people that wouldn't buy it. But I mean, they want to keep track of people who's going to cause dissent and people who's going to figure it out right away. You know, like the
right.
You know, always go back to the things, the Communist Manifesto. First, they go after the farmers, people who are self-sufficient. Then, second, they go after the intelligence community, people like us at Renegade, who are smart enough to know what the hell is going on and try and figure it out. And then, third, they go after the old regime, the military or policing that maybe. Loyal to the old ways. So this is just their way we're one big test. We're one big social experiment for whenever they move on to complete control. They keep track of people like you and me. Who's going to go around spreading more of the word and who's going to wake more people up? They're always ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Charles, I thought I would mind the audience of that. You have a wonderful show.
Hey, buddy, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, the other day, I had a listener send me a post that some tribe-esque female tribe member had posted on some blog site. She went on to this into this long diatribe boasting. How many times we've seen this before, guys? I did a whole show once on Jewish boastings down through the ages, specifically in the past 100 years, focusing more on that, where they admit that they've been behind, you know, we Jews are behind all your wars. Remember that one? Imagine the things you would have achieved if it wasn't for us meddling in your affairs. You know, on and on and on. They're proud of their crimes, proud of their achievements. If they can screw a dollar out of you and put you in the, you know, in the crapper so they can get ahead, that's something, you know, that they pat each other on the back for. Doesn't matter how many lives they ruin or how many people they murder or have murdered on their behalf, you know, on and on. It doesn't matter, guys. It's something that would make actual human beings with a conscience cringe and screech in horror. They are proud of those type of things. They can't do enough evil in the world. It's never enough for them. They always seek to outdo the previous evil that they've done before. And they do outdo themselves every time. Anyway, so this one little tribe-esque was going on a similar diatribe, you know, in this post, bragging how they have so many mindless dopes duped by their propaganda. We rip you off and you don't get it, you don't see it. We're going to continue to do it, you know, on and on and on. One of the things she mentioned, though, in her big long list, was how we're now pushing to make pedophilia acceptable. And you're going to fall for that, too. You're already, you know, showing signs of falling for it. Unbelievable. The very thing, guys, I've been saying, right? Me and, you know, others. Sure enough, here she is boasting about it. That is their goal. Absolutely. One of many incredibly evil goals, but that is definitely on the, you know, near the top of their list, guys, if not the top. They are aggressively pushing for this. They've been doing it for quite some time, but more so than ever now. I Pizzagate, as important as that is to expose, they seem to be at the helm of exposing it. They want it exposed to so completely shock and desensitize the public that it won't seem like such a big deal anymore. It'll become commonplace, and again, they know that they're not going to get a lot of people to accept it, but they don't really care as long as you become so benumbed by it that you'll throw your arms up in despair and figure, oh, it's out of control now, I can't stop it. You know, that's what a lot of rabidly anti-gay people have done, right? They don't speak out against homosexuality anymore. They're afraid to, even though they don't like it and they don't like that it's become such a powerful influence in society, you know, and they're trying to pawn it off on kids in the schools, you know, on and on and on. And that's what they're doing with pedophilia, guys. The same thing. Anyways, looks like we've got two callers on the line here. First one in the New York area. I think it's a returning call. Welcome to the show, caller.
Yeah, Charlie, is it calling Monday or something?
I know, huh? Really?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something to the people out there because, as you know, it's very important to investigate things on your own. And this is the point I mean to say, especially like about 9/11. There's still all the information out there on the internet, but the problem has been that over the years, so much clutter has been clouding some of the sites that are still out there, some of the links to information. You just have to keep digging deeper. One of the subjects that nobody talks about is when they, and you could find this on whatreallyhappened.com, Mr. We Didn't Go to the Moon, Mike Rivero.
Oh, yeah.
He has links to the New Jersey newspaper that actually covered the fact that the Mossad was picked up, the dancing Israelis, and the fact that they were actually Mossad.
Yeah.
But whenever a person out there goes and investigates, it's very important to keep, whenever you come to a site that has information, to keep clicking hyperlinks on that, on those pages. Because if you keep on clicking them further enough down, you'll find information, for example, that the people that they arrested were actually dressed as Palestinians.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you don't dig far enough down in those links, you're never going to know that. So as far as everybody knows, it's just these people that were dancing on top of a rooftop. You know, but the fact is, I mean, what Jews in their right mind would actually be dressed up as Palestinians?
Yep.
Where would they get the clothes to do all this? See, but you can find that if you dig deep enough. It's the same thing with the Pentagon. If you look at the videos out there, there's video clips, and then you keep on looking under the title of the Pentagon attack, you'll find a clip where there's no debris on the lawn after the event. There's no debris at all. So, but you have to find that yourself. You're never going to find it from Alex Jones. You're never going to find it from anybody else. You have to spend that time doing it. And I understand how tedious it is, but that's the only way you're going to do it. I recently had a friend of mine, I told him about the airports were shut down by the CIA on 9/11 in California because no relatives were showing up. And I said, you have to start digging down. And he said he had to go like 50 pages deep in Google until he found an article that actually mentioned by the newspaper saying that the CIA had shut down the airports. When what's the purpose? It's just shutting those two airports down. It makes no sense at all. But then when you dig deep enough, you find out why, where they can't find relatives of people who supposedly died on the plane. So it's just a matter of taking that time. You know, you can't depend on other people to do the research for you. You got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say, Charlie, and get to your other call. It's great to hear other people chime in, though. It makes us realize we're not alone, Charlie.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's it. Take care, Charlie.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. And to add to that, again, you know, look at Sirhan, guys. There was a alleged Palestinian, right? Supposedly, you know, he was framed. Supposedly he killed RFK. No, he didn't. He was framed to do it. Anybody who studied that assassination knows full well he had nothing to do with the killing. He was there. He had a gun, sure, but he didn't shoot RFK. Certainly didn't inflict the deadly wound, which came from behind him at close range. He had powder burns on his neck, but he happened to be a Palestinian. Who's going to set up a Palestinian? That was right after, in fact, a year to the day after the Six-Day War. So obvious. Anyway, looks like another caller on the line. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, I've never listened to your show live before. I thought I'd tune in. I think it's interesting.
Right?
Sorry?
What is it, afternoon over there, late afternoon?
It's 2:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done shows on here before. Don't know if you've heard them. I think it's interesting how they would be trying to blame the Palestinians there for 9/11 potentially. Maybe this backfired, or I mean, why would they be dressed as that, and how would that get leaked?
Right. And then, you know, in addition to that, they were playing a video. Remember that? Right on 9/11. In fact, the next couple of days, they kept rerunning that video. Supposedly Palestinians dancing, cheering, the towers burning, and it turns out, oh, that's old stock footage from a funeral celebration from a couple months earlier. Unreal. So you didn't hear about the dancing Israelis. All you heard about were the dancing Palestinians that had nothing to do with 9/11. Did you know about that one?
I didn't know about that one, actually. This is the first I've heard about it. I haven't really looked into 9/11 for years because I just got really damn bored of it, and there are all these different theories about it, so yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. But they were pushing that, but when it got exposed for being something from months earlier, they dropped it, you know, disappeared off the radar. But it's interesting because when they first showed it, they claimed that it was live footage, right? But yet, at the time they showed it, it was nighttime in Palestine. There's the sun shining brightly overhead like it's high noon, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of these little things that they seem to miss, or maybe it's done on purpose also to fool us.
Yeah, sure. Just to mess with it. Yeah, they love it.
Just confuses things even more. But I was wondering whether certain information is coming out now, because there's talk of Trump bringing in the 7 Noahide laws, and perhaps they want to now have a separation between the elites and the rest of us. So they can now do what they want, and people will just accept it because that's what they do, and that's not what we do.
Right. Pretty scary world. I hate to think where this is going with this guy. I really think that potentially we're going to see the worst of the worst come out.
Well, people are believing in him. People who you'd be surprised, a couple of years ago, just seem to buy it, and even more esoteric type people, they think that, say, the Illuminati card is the reason that he's on there with the enough is enough. You know, I don't know. You probably know about that. That's because of time travel. That people find some way to believe in it and be fooled. They want to be fooled, really.
Yeah, that same with religion. They love it. They love deception. They can't get enough of it. But I mentioned last week how I think people like Alex Jones has been groomed for this very reason. And sure, that's why he's gotten a lot of mainstream coverage over the years. He's been on the History Channel. He's been on Fox News, for crying out loud. He's been featured quite a bit. Even Hillary mentioned him by name in her campaign. You know, it was one of the prime fake news broadcasts, whatever,
And even the music industry, the whole rap music industry, the amount of times that he's been mentioned in their lyrics.
A lot of Hollywooders have chummed with the guy. This is all part of the conditioning, because so many alternative thinkers now have been swayed into this guy's camp, and now that he's singing Trump's praises, I think he's playing a major role in leading people off the deep end and preparing them to accept something they otherwise would have rejected, Anyway, we got a break coming in, buddy. Do you want to hold on? Or?
Yeah, I'll hold on a little bit.
All right.
Gives us one side of World War II. They don't want us to know the real history of what happened over 70 years ago, seeing through the eyes of the German victims. The horror of the terror bombing, the mass rape of millions of women and children, the torture and murder of civilians, the death camps for surrendered soldiers, the ethnic cleansing of whole countries, and the planned extermination of the entirety of the German people. After watching Hellstorm, you'll never see the good war and the good guys in the same light ever again. Watch for free and get DVDs at hellstormdocumentary.com.
right, guys, welcome back. Anyway, Carl, you still there?
Yep, still around.
Yeah, but yeah, I think people are really getting reeled in like a fish on a hook with this guy and his outrageous, over-the-top, literal worship of this guy. Some of the videos I've seen recently, it's just so outrageous, so ridiculous. Especially in light of stuff he's already done, his reneging on so many promises, his appointments. Oh man, I'm going to do a show. In fact, that's the next topic I'm going to be covering, of all the tribe members in his cabinet. How anybody can think we've got something new here, something different. No, it's same. You know, how does that Who song go? Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Same old, same old. Anyway, buddy, you still there?
Yeah, still here. Yeah, I think that people can't help but chill for the system. I think it's become their natural state.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah, a lot of people are awake in many ways, but they... Well, I don't know if some people are really awake or not. Maybe they are actually shills, as in they are really paid to do it.
But you don't even need those people. Average Joes will do that for them without even
realizing. Yeah, they're the gatekeepers. Yeah, everyone's the gatekeeper. Yeah,
they don't realize they're doing that, but they're so taken in by the deception and so desirous of maintaining their illusion of the world being such a wonderful place. And, like this guy, he's as sincere as they come. This guy I meet for breakfast, nice guy. But you're just never going to wake him out of that delusion he's in. He absolutely won't even give you the time of day if you bring up anything that doesn't go along with his preconceived ideas. And forget religion, too. He's very staunch, very religious. There's nothing you could ever say. It doesn't matter how much documentation you present, how much common sense you share, with him. No, won't matter. His mind's made up. Like that expression, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. That's this guy.
Yeah, well, they want to believe in something. They have to believe that there's something to Trump, and if you are against that, then you're being negative and you're not. It's like there has to be some sort of hope there, so we need to be using it for the instead of exposing it.
Yeah, they like those labels too. If they can call you a pessimist, you're so negative, then that overrides them having to actually address what you're saying, because now that you're already labeled as such, you're automatically wrong because you're that way. You know what I mean? That's how a lot of people think that way too.
Yeah, it's also people telling other people, that Trump's a great guy when it's not really their place to be doing it. I don't really want to say any examples right now, but yeah, people are pushing this guy when I don't know. But what do you think about, just off going off on a tangent, do you think there's something special about Aryan blood?
About what?
Aryan blood, white people blood.
Oh. Special in what way?
Well, say we've built the civilization that we live in, or maybe the Jews have tricked us into building it. There's different storylines of how that might have happened. But do you think that white people have made this world the good parts of this world?
Well, without coming across as a supremacist myself, there's no question a lot of great achievements have been made, by European descendant peoples. No, said, though, there is that factor. Where does the money come from? Unfortunately, you look at, you know, Western civilization, which arose during the Middle Ages. It's very unfortunate, but true. It's been tribal money behind it every time, you know. So you got to wonder if that tribal money was shelled out elsewhere, would it have happened? I think it would have happened anyway without tribes money, because ingenuity itself brings economic development. You know what I'm saying? But because the tribe was there and was financing it, they directed it the way they wanted it to go and have been doing so ever since.
Yeah, I think we've definitely been used. Our ingenuity has definitely been used. And I know you have your ideas about Second World War. I think you're not anti the German people in terms of the Second World War, if I get it right. And, I mean, the German people had something in them to create things that, you know, there was a lot of great potential, and they could tune into that because they were unshackled.
And that's why they had to go. They were a big problem for them.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know when the Jews actually came along and became as powerful as they are. I kind of get the date around maybe 4,000 years ago, but before then we may have had great civilizations. And there are all these pyramids around the world and artifacts and all sorts of things that get unearthed. And I'm wondering if we did have a great civilization before this, which is now taken out of history books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the ancient Egyptians talk about an age they called Zep-Tepi, when the world was a paradise. In fact, I in my book, An Alternative Jew of the Distant Past, that's my whole premise, is that the earth was a paradise in so many ways, not just the way man treated his fellow man, but just the earth's environment itself. You didn't have extremes of hot and cold. You didn't have seasons. It was a year-round planting season. Apparently, life forms lived longer, lived more healthy, and even grew to larger sizes, too. You know, giantism was something that was common in this environment. A much different world, much better world. You didn't have the greed that you have now. So many ancient legends talk about this. So, yeah, I believe, you know, what much of what we see going on today is not just an introduction of evil into our world. It's an assurance that we never go back to what we had, because they wouldn't be able to control us if we did.
Yeah,
that's
whatever
why
reason.
Targeting so many third world countries that are no threat, nor could they be any threat to the West. You know, all during the Cold War, we were taking out, countries, small countries in South America, East Asia, Africa. Why? They couldn't pose any threat. No, but they were an ideological threat. They can't have that. They can't have a third world country with a booming economy where everybody's happy and fed and clothed and having livable wage jobs, when they're creating a society here that's designed to exploit the living daylights out of you and leave you destitute, where nobody has anything except those who have the corporate reins of power in their hand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's examples.
So they don't want
I'll mute for a moment because you've got another caller coming in.
Yeah. But hey, good points, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks, man. We have another call on the line. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, Charles, I'm back. I ain't got much time because I'm in the middle of working, but I'll make it real brief. I'm happy to see our dear friend Chris had called in. He's done some wonderful shows in the past on wild cards about the very subject that both of you were talking about the Aryan and in white spirit. But
yeah,
what came to my mind just now was that in national
Before you go, I just want to state I'm all for preserving, I should say restoring, you know, European based Aryan civilization, because we are being waged war against, no question about it. We are the target right now.
I think us at Renegade, a lot of people, see, we tend to, I wouldn't say Chris here, because he's way ahead of the curve, and I mean that in the most, in the best way possible, I mean, with his knowledge, because, let's just say Adolf Hitler, the whole idea about National Socialism, it wasn't new. And we can't forget how many, 109 or 110 countries over the years, for thousands of years, Jews have been kicked out of it or expelled. So, yeah. And one thing we all tend to overlook was if Hitler he invaded certain countries or invaded Poland to rescue Germans who were being persecuted, why do we often forget that Switzerland was a neutral country, and neither the Allied powers nor the Germans invaded Switzerland? Why? Because that was where all the money was. That was all where all the banks changed hands. I mean, there's evidence.
And they set that up too to protect their financial interests in the midst of all the hellish wars that we're going to be creating.
So we often forget, because we should give credit to Hitler for what he did, for standing up against worldwide Jewry, but we often forget that, I really believe that, I mean, it's proven that you need an international bank with money. You need an area where all the money changes hands in order to run a world war, whether it was the First World War or whether it was the Second World War. So, I mean, I don't think Adolf Hitler was completely out there on his own. I do believe he was, because the German Luftwaffe would not have gotten up off the ground without a special patent inside of its jet fuel, or its aircraft fuel, from IG Farben. He did business with the Bushes. Henry Ford kept a picture of him, a portrait of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, I don't really want to get into that, because that's really getting off the topic once again.
We get the picture. Anyway, Charles, I just wanted to keep it real brief, since we're on the subject of the Aryan and the white spirit. But anyway, you and Chris have a wonderful show. I got to get back to work.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for calling, man.
All right, no problem, Charles.
No question, guys. We could be so far ahead of where we're at right now, except for tribal meddlings and their little interest-bearing fiat currency. There's our biggest problem right there. Like I said, technology could, would, and should be a blessing if our world wasn't being controlled by the swine that's controlling it. We would be so better off than where we're at right now. Most of the diseases that we have that are threatening us today wouldn't even exist. They were made in a freaking lab. And the few that did exist naturally would long since have been eradicated, cancer particularly. All those billions of dollars that were spent supposedly to research a cure, they already knew what the cure was, guys. If all that money was put into research and development for other cures of diseases, oh, man, think where we'd be. Think where we'd be. Hunger would be eradicated. Famine would be eradicated. There'd be no part of the world where people... You wouldn't have third world countries. You wouldn't. Wouldn't have this at all. It wouldn't exist. Everybody could and should be living a comfortable life, relatively, comfortable. I don't even have a problem with some people earning more than others. Of course, if you have more refined skills that are in higher demand, you should earn more money, but not the disparity of ultra rich and ultra poor and hooray for me, I get everything, you get nothing, too bad for you, screw you, if you say anything, I'm going to kill you, so shut up. No. We wouldn't have this at all. Not at all. And, as far as some groups having advantages over others, that's a reality. That does exist. But that's all the more reason to be more responsible. I think our caller was back on the line there. Did you want to come back on, Chris?
I just need to get some water.
Oh, okay.
Keep talking for a minute.
Sure. But, you know, to me, if you do have talents and abilities that are superior to others, you have a responsibility, well, first to take care of your own people, but also to reach out and help others if they're worthy of it. You know, they're not trying to take advantage of you. But if there are others who are hurting and don't have such abilities, yeah. Once you've got your own civilization established, reach out, help others, you know, to come along and get themselves out of, like I said, everybody on the planet, guys, should and would be able to be living comfortably. Can you imagine living in a world like that? A world like what my grandfather described that he grew up in, you know, where all the neighbors knew each other, helped each other, were there to support each other. My God, if you had that on a worldwide scale, you could and should have that. But nope, not with the scum we got running this crap nest. Anyway, looks like we got another caller. This really is the day for phone calls today. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, Charlie. It's Andre from Dallas. This is calling Monday. I figured I'd call in.
Sure, why not?
And let Vinny know if he's still listening, man. You guys aren't alone, you know. I'm out here in Dallas backing up, you know, given we really need to come together. But, man, I just see so many people just need to wake up to really who's behind all the conflict in the world. I'm just so sick of these conservative, you know, type guys, man. Like, this guy who's my neighbor, he's like real pro-gun, right-wing and all and everything. But, you know, I started talking about Israel one day with him and Jews, and right away he's like, oh, yeah, they've got our back in the Middle East.
Oh, they got our backs with their daggers.
Exactly, man. I was like, yeah, dude, you need to wake up. And I think he got a little offended. He's like, well, they're our attack dogs. And I'm like, no, I think more like we're their attack dogs.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And, you know, and it's hard when you try to go the Jewish question with some people, because right away when you start talking about it or try to talk about it.
I would bet he's religious, is he?
I don't think he's real religious, but, you know, he's just like one of these right, typical righties that aren't privy to the Jew quest, you know.
Yeah.
They're
not
Jew-wise. They think they're
bright. You don't have to be religious that way, but a great many people who are religious, and that's why they are that way.
Yeah, my brother's like that.
Yeah.
And I'd gotten into it with my brother on this, and I was trying to point it out to him, and he's like, oh, man, I just, you know, I could see your point and everything, but I hate you, you know, I don't like you seeing you being so angry and hateful. And I'm like, it's not being angry and hateful, man. I'm just trying to be aware. I'm trying to bring this to people's attention.
Oh, I don't hide it. I come out and admit I am angry and hateful, and I tell them, shame on you for not being. How can you not be angry and hateful toward criminals and their crimes that are ruining our world? Yeah,
no, you're right, man. People should be angry. That's what gets me even angrier. Why aren't people? They should be more angry.
Right.
And it's like, I try to talk to people about this. I post stuff on Facebook, and it's like nobody responds to it. You know, it's like they want to just keep their heads up their butt and pretend that everything is all good and it's, you know, all the problems are going to be sorted out and Trump's going to make it all better.
My favorite one I hear a lot is, well, it's just a bad trend. The economy is going to bounce back again.
Oh, yeah, man. But it's like that guy that does the White South Africa website, man. I heard a video with him, and he was talking about, like, all the similar things that's going on right now that's really close to what was going on at the beginning of World War II. You know, like they're really trying to push this propaganda with Russia and Iran. I mean, they're really starting to ramp it up, I've noticed. And I tell you, I know, man, I don't watch much TV, you know, that much anymore, and I know you don't. But, man, if somebody really wants to see the propaganda they're pushing, man, there's a show on the Science Channel called What on Earth. And, man, that show is nothing but straight-up Jew propaganda, man. You want to see what they're pushing? Watch that show, man. I kind of watch it. Yeah, I kind of watch it just to see the propaganda they're trying to push on people. And it's ridiculous, man. Anybody with half a brain, you think, could see through it. But like you said, you know, you try to talk to people about what really happened on 9/11, and a lot of people admit that the Iraq war was done under false pretenses. But you try to talk about 9/11, you know, being a sham and a self-inflicted wound, and people are like, oh, no, you're one of those conspiracy nuts.
Right.
Oh, man.
Love that label.
But anyway, I just wanted to call in and chime on that. I know it's probably getting close to the end of the show.
But, all right, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one, Charlie, and looking forward to your book coming out.
Yeah, me too. Should be pretty soon here.
All right, good.
All right. Take care, man.
Later.
All right. Well, looks like we only got a few minutes left, but I think we have Chris back on. Are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something quickly, and then I'll let you finish off the show. Yeah, I think it's passion, and their hate is slime, and our hate is a fuel for goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another point is to do with Russia. I think there may be 40 million plus military trained people in Russia. So maybe we can get them on side.
It all depends on, you know, people's open-mindedness and willing to listen and admit that, you know, maybe they're being misled, being deceived. I mean,
well, it might be time,
plot, right?
You know, it might be time for Russians to wake up.
Yeah, yeah. Sun Tzu said the first casualty of any war is the truth, right? That's how wars are able to be fought. You got to fool the people.
Well, a lot of people have the...
What's that? Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, I'll be back in a moment. Somebody's knocking on my door.
Oh, okay. No problem. Yeah, we'll probably be done with the show before he gets back. But anyway, just got a couple minutes left. Maybe I can just finish these notes up really quick. As I was saying earlier, I was going through a list of strange deaths that have occurred over the past several months connected with, you know, people speaking out against government corruption in general, but specifically Pizzagate. It was a man who threatened to sue the DNC, who died mysteriously also last summer, around July, middle of July. John Ash was his name. He was a former UN ambassador from Antigua. He was up on charges for taking bribes from a wealthy Chinese real estate mogul. Now, you know, this guy was no bastion of decency himself, but nevertheless, guys, they kill their own, or at least their own minions, very often. Something must have happened. This guy must have threatened to blow the whistle or something. He was murdered on... Oh, actually, it wasn't July. It was a little before that, June 22nd, just this past summer. We're told that a barbell hit him in the head, and he died as a result. Yeah, whatever, man. Barbell. Oh, I'm sure maybe a barbell did hit him in the head. Where did the barbell come from? Who was holding the barbell that hit him in the head? Anyway, we, of course, have Victor Thorne, right? Exposing a lot of Clinton crimes. Supposedly, he committed suicide August 1st. Yeah, whatever. Three WikiLeaks founders also died under suspicious circumstances in the last half of 2016. Again, guys, WikiLeaks, again, for the most part, is itself a tribal creation, but nevertheless, just like, you know, Soros created... The Occupy movement, right? But it doesn't mean there aren't sincere people in there. There were a lot of sincere people in the Occupy movement. So that pretty much covers it. Monica Peterson is another one. She had been investigating child trafficking in Haiti. And the next thing you know, she turns up dead. She mentioned the you know, the Clinton Foundation being connected with the whole thing. That under very mysterious circumstances, just on, just back in November, November 13th, she died. John Jones, a UK lawyer, exposing government corruption, was pushed in front of a train in August, just back, a month back. So, I mean, you know, on and on it goes. Anyway, you get the point. Go into this, guys. Yeah, I think, Chris, are you there? We got another, like, a minute or two?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, also, in Russia, there's a similar sentiment with Trump, with Putin, and people in the conspiracy-type movement, if you want to call it that, say if Putin wasn't in, then the world would be worse. Russia would be worse, and that he's keeping some sort of stability. And it seems to be a similar kind of narrative.
Yeah, no, he's got tribal connections all over him, too. I don't trust that guy. I mean...
Yeah, I think they're waiting. They're doing a waiting game because they're not really invading anywhere.
Right. I mean, people said that about Gorbachev, right? Remember Glasnost and all that, you know, that he was a decent guy. Come on. By the way, he was a 33rd degree Mason, amongst other things. But here's the thing. They worked so hard to hijack Russia back in 1917, right? And after that, they maintained a stranglehold for decades on end thereafter. We're supposed to believe, though, that now suddenly since 1990, you know, with the collapse of the Iron Curtain, we're supposed to believe that now suddenly the tribe just walked away, threw their arms up in despair and said, oh, well, nothing we can do now. They freed themselves from our clutches. We're supposed to believe that. No, no, it doesn't work that way.
They got away with literal murder. And then it was the Germans that had to take the fall. And then afterwards, there was the Cold War, but Russia really hasn't really, they haven't felt the pain for what they've done. Or well, not what they've done, what their elite has done.
Right, right. Yeah. Anyway, that's all the time we got for this show. But hey, thanks, buddy. Thanks for the call. Thanks for everybody, to everybody else for the calls. Quite a few calls today. All right, folks, have a great day, and we'll catch you tomorrow. See you then. Take care.
Nothing about South Africa in Western schools, other than that there was an evil apartheid government of white racists who oppressed everyone until the great Saint Nelson Mandela came along. Now you can learn the real history of exploration, conflict, concentration camps for the Boers, Jewish-funded black terrorism, Winnie Mandela and her necklacing, rampant murder and rape under the ANC, the so-called squatter camps, how the Rainbow Nation is a blueprint for what's to come for whites worldwide, and so much more. Between Heaven and Hell, The True Story of Whites in South Africa by Sinead McCarthy. Free to watch at whitesouthafrica.com.